Let's turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy 13, if you haven't already. And let's just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that you have given us your word for our instruction, so that we, Lord, would stay true to the vow that we have taken, to follow after you with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. We need to love you, Lord. And to love you, we need to study your word. We need to know what it is that you have said in your word, what you have promised, and what you have told us to stay away from. I pray, Father, that today, as we look into Deuteronomy 13, you've laid these things out to us, and I pray that you would give us understanding. And help us, Lord, to reconcile the fact of evangelism as opposed to staying away from those that would lead us astray. So, Father, give us that balance. Give us discernment as we read your word and give heed to that which you have told us to do. By your Holy Spirit, Lord, we can understand these things. And I pray you would fill each and every one of us to overflowing. So, Father, have your way with us. Give us understanding and help us to love you with all of the heart and all of the soul and all of the mind and all of the strength. In Jesus' name, amen. So chapter 12, we saw that the Lord told us to stay away, told the children of Israel to stay away from those things that were pagan worship areas, that they were to destroy them, that they were totally to be put out and, you know, just done away with, so that nothing could be left that would even look like there was a place of worship there. In the high mountains, in the groves as well, and in the plains, and in the cities. Every city had places of worship in there. And so the Lord says to destroy those things, to totally wipe them out. In other words, it's to wipe them out of our minds. We're not supposed to be looking at the old places to see where it is and how it is that they worshiped. So, if we keep those things out of our minds, we won't be tempted to go back there. And that's a big problem with, especially, you know, because our minds are always, you know, centered on what it is that happened before, what our past was, what we did long, long ago before we came to be Christians. And those things start to flood our minds. Those things are supposed to be destroyed. And they can only be destroyed by being replaced with the things of the Lord. As we dwell on the things of the Lord, as we submit ourselves unto God, the Word of God is going to permeate us, because that's what we're going to be ingesting. If we just simply throw those things out of our minds and say, no, I'm not going to think about them, and not fill them with something, well, it's the same thing as Jesus says. When an evil spirit leaves a man, he wanders into dry places. And when he finds that he's got no place to rest, then he says, I will return unto my house. And when he returns, he finds it swept and garnished. In other words, there's nothing in there to keep him out. You see, as we fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit, and as we fill ourselves with the Word of God, those things of the past can't come back in, because we're concentrated on the things of the Lord, the new things. We're new creatures in Christ. The old things have passed away. Now, it's pretty obvious what that means. The old that we used to be doesn't exist anymore. It died. We died unto ourselves in favor of what the Lord is going to implant in our lives. And so when he implants them, then we need to walk in them. And as we walk in them, then we're going to live in them. And that's the steps that we have to do. We have to forsake the old in favor of the new. So all of the places of the worship of what the Canaanites did and things like that should not even be in our minds. You know, we shouldn't even be inquiring into how did they worship their gods? Because it's only going to lead to your flesh being rising up. And so after that, then Moses, the Lord through Moses, he talks about the things that will reside pretty close to home. And sometimes these are going to be difficult passages for us to really grab hold of. But he's going to talk about not only things, but he's going to talk about people now. People that would lead you astray. At first, we're going to talk about the false prophet. And the false prophet that rises up to lead you away. And then it's going to be really more close to home, and that is a loved one. When a loved one wants to lead you astray. And then we're going to be talking about the cities in Israel that have gone astray and how that relates to us. So in verse 1 we read, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. Now, dreams can be from God, as we have seen in Genesis 37. We saw that Joseph had dreams. And remember the dreams that he had? You know, hey, guys, gather around and listen to the dream that I had. You know, I had a dream where each of us were, you know, had 12 sheaves of, and, you know, all of your sheaves did obeisance to my sheaf. Isn't that great? They didn't think that was too cool. You know, why should we bow down to you? And then he had another dream. And you know, so the dreams can be, from God to show you things that are going to happen. Or Numbers 12:6 says, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. So we shouldn't discount those things. When people say, well, I had a dream about this or that or the other thing, you know, okay, you take it with a grain of salt, you measure it against the word of God, and you see, okay, well, let's see if it comes true. Let's see if it happens. And that's the way that prophets were tested in the old days. But they could also be false prophets. And there was a, in Jeremiah 23, 25, and 26, you know, there was a test, a litmus test for these prophets. And in Jeremiah 23 says, I have heard what the prophets say, that they prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. So we can, you know, the desires of our own heart can kind of supersede, oh, I got a word from the Lord. And I've heard this many times of people. Oh, I've got a word from the Lord that we should do this and that and the other thing. When in really it was what their hearts desire. You know, I mean, I could have, you know, gone up and said, hey, you know, I had this word from the Lord that, you know, Cindy and I are going to go to Hawaii and minister, you know. And it's not going to come to pass because that's not where the Lord has called us. He's called us here. And this is where we minister. And the Lord's called you here where you minister. And if the Lord wants to take you off someplace, he's going to give you the thoughts to move on. And then he's going to make it happen. He's going to make it happen. You got to remember, we try to make things happen because that's what we want to do. I'd like to live in Hawaii where the mean temperature is 82 degrees and there's balmy breezes coming off of the ocean. That would be such a terrible place to minister. Really tough area. I think we could do it though, you know. And so we start making plans and rearranging our lives to make that come to pass. Self-fulfilling prophecies. But miraculous signs. And this is one of the things that really get people, you know. Miraculous signs were never meant to be tests of truth. Okay? Miracles happen in many false religions because Satan wants to deceive people. And that's why these things happen. In 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So we see there that even Satan's ministers are transformed. And so how do we balance this out? Well, it's obvious we need to balance it out with knowing the Word of God, knowing it cold. We have to know what the Word of God says so that when we hear nonsense that things are being, you know, talked about on the TV and on the radios and on the Internet and things of that nature, we're going to have our spiritual radar up. We're going to have our antenna up and we're going to hear this and something's not going to sit right. Because of what we already know. And if you don't know, then you're going to swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Oh, this guy's a famous preacher, and so whatever he says has got to be right. Huh? No, we are to be Bereans. Acts 17:11 still is in full effect. And I keep beating this drum, but, you know, we sometimes forget that we need to be Bereans in that they receive the word with all readiness of mind. That's a good thing. But they searched the scriptures daily to prove whether those things were so, whether those things were right. And that's what we need to do. We need to be Bereans. But we can take, you know, a step forward on that by absorbing what the Word of God says now. And then the Holy Spirit will bring that to mind. So when you hear something, that doesn't sound quite right, then the Holy Spirit will bring the scripture to mind that counters what it is that you heard that doesn't sound quite right. So Moses is warning the people that the standard for truth never is a miraculous sign. Does this sound familiar, folks? Does this sound like something that we've traveled here before? Wasn't it the Pharisees and the Sadducees that came up and says, we seek a sign? And that's why Jesus was so upset with them. This is a wicked and adulterous nation that seeks after a sign. Because they had the Word of God. The Word of God told them of the Messiah that was coming, but now they want to see signs. They want to see wonders to facilitate whether these things be so. In verse 2, he says, and the sign and the wonder, and if, and the sign and the, or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. So, it's in the message. It's not in the miracle, but it's in the message. God tells us what to do with a prophet that says something, and it doesn't come to pass. In Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22, it says, but the prophet which shall presume to speak any word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. God is that serious about it. That prophet should die. And if thou say in thy heart, now how shall we know if the word of the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, and thou shalt not be afraid of him. So he's speaking a word that the Lord did not speak. He's telling you falsehood. He's telling you lie. And the sign didn't come to pass. Now, there were those prophets that gave a sign, you know, that prophesied a sign, and the sign came to pass, and the message that followed had to be judged by the Word of God. Is this from God, or is this from the heart of the prophet? Now, it's sad. Many Christians in our day neglect discernment. And where does discernment come from? It comes from knowing the Word of God. That's where discernment comes from. So if you want discernment in this day of deception, then you need to study the Word of God. You need to know it cold. It needs to be something that has a priority in your life. As you go throughout your day, you're longing to get into the Word. You're longing to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to you, to teach you. That would be your heart's desire. That's how God is first and foremost in your life. If you have a love for the Word of God and that you want to read it and you want to understand it. So signs and wonders is never evidence of the truth of God. And this is going to be a thing that we're going to keep repeating over and over and over again. And I like the way that the last song that we sung, you know, he kept going over that verse over and over and over again. Why? Now it's in your mind. The enemy can't take away anything from you. Can't. And we kept singing that over until it got ingrained in. Okay, yeah. The Lord does the same thing. He speaks things over and over, and sometimes it gets so redundant that we say, okay, I know this. Let's move on to something else. No, we need to camp here so that we get to know it. So those who are immediately convinced at the sight of supernatural power are in reality, you know, in danger of being deceived. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. The world is going to go crazy. They're going to get these signs and these wonders, and we'll go through a little bit more as we go through there. But they're going to eat this up. The sign, that's the thing, because they're devoid of the Word of God. They're ripe for deception. And so that's why we're here, to tell them about the truth of God's Word. Now, whether they listen or not, that's not on you. That's irrelevant. That's on them. But you've told them, you see. Their blood isn't going to be on your hands because you have told them about Jesus Christ and the truth of God's redemption. So Jesus said that these signs will follow those who believe. We're not supposed to follow signs. The signs will follow us. In Mark 16:17, he says that. You know, the signs are going to follow the believers. So If you're looking for signs and wonders, you got the cart before the horse, and you're not going to go anywhere. You need to get the Word of God in there so that you can understand what the signs and the wonders are. And that's where Joseph and Daniel, they were able to interpret dreams because they had a love for God. God gave them the interpretation. If we try to interpret something and we don't have, you know, the source, the Lord Jesus Christ, giving us the information, then we're going to be lost. But Joseph was in the prison and he was able to interpret the butler and the baker's dreams, and they came to pass. And he was able then to interpret Pharaoh's dream. Why? Because he had a connection with the Lord God. The Lord God was his source. And just like we, you know, as we submit ourselves unto the Lord, he then is our source. Nothing can deter us, because we stick steadfast to that. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, the scripture tells us. Now, signs and wonders are spectacular, to be sure, you know. And, you know, one of the things that I kind of like, these illusionists. I mean, you know, maybe you don't have it. But I like to see how people are able to do things that seem miraculous. You know, that steels me against people trying to do miraculous things and given false prophecy. You know, because I love to see those things. I mean, it's just like, these guys are so talented that they're able to, you know, sleight of hand kind of a thing and put these things out there. And it's just like, wow, how did they do that? Can you imagine if you don't have the Spirit of the living God and people do that? Wow, this guy's got some power, right? When all they are is sleight of hand. They're illusionists. They're nothing. They really have no power except that they're able to fool you. And so, you know, the more spectacular it is, the more that you go, wow, that was a good trick. That was a good, and that's going to come in handy as you start to see the days start to unfold, as the signs and wonders start even to come out more. If you're an internet follower or, you know, however, you see that there's a lot of things going on in the world. You see that, you know, the news will report one thing and they will show you on the TV or whatever on the internet, you know, some background to, you know, facilitate or to validate what it is that they're saying. When in reality, what you're looking at has nothing to do at all with what they're saying. So we need to steel ourselves. It's a sleight of hand. The things that are going on the internet now, they're meant to deceive, to herd you into a fearful state. But if you have the Word of God, there's no fear to be had, because you know that God has everything into control. And so there is no wonder that why in the world would Christians, who would be loving people, who would be, you know, the ones that are doing charity work and ministries and things like that, why would they be persecuted? It seems like you would want more of them to take care of the poor and the destitute and the needy. But herein, the media and the world around us want to come down. Now, we know it's a spiritual thing, but it doesn't make sense to the world. Why in the world would the world, you know, want to persecute people like that? You'd think that they would, hey, they're doing a great job. They're feeding people and this kind of thing. But they're being persecuted now, and they want to be put to death. Why? One reason. They can't be deceived. We have the Spirit of the living God, and we cannot be deceived. The enemy can't take away anything from us, to borrow from the song that we sung, because we have the Spirit of the living God. Now, the book of the Revelation, chapter 13, tells us all about some really spectacular things. Really spectacular things that are going to be happening. And in verse 11 through 15, talking about this false prophets. And that's really what I wanted to look at, is the fall. I don't care about the beast or the Antichrist or anything like that. He's got his due. But the false prophet is the one that we're going to zero in, because it fits so well in our study today. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, and that they that which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This is going to be the state of the world after we're gone, after we're out of here. This is going to be part of the end times, when it's going to be in the middle of what we call the Great Tribulation period, that 7-year period. This is going to be the start of the middle. This is going to be, that means that after this 42 months passes until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And that's really the only measure that we have. Except for the sign, well, there is another one, but that starts the 7-year tribulation, and we won't get into that. But be it known that when that action happens, we know that there's 42 months until the Lord comes back. How interesting. 42 months. So, when Jesus did miracles, in contrast to what this false guy is going to do here, where did the glory go? Who got the glory? Matthew 9:8 says, "But when the multitude saw it," that is the miracles, "they marveled and glorified God which had given such power unto men." They glorified God. That's how you know that it's true, because the Lord is being glorified here. And in Luke 7:16 says, "And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people." So we know the contrast here. Where is the worship going? Where is the glory going to? Is it going to the Lord, or is it going to something else? And it doesn't matter what it is. It's that it's going to someone else. So the litmus test for that is, when you see a sign or a miracle, who's getting the glory? In Matthew 24:24, as Jesus was saying to his disciples, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And I believe that as he's pronouncing this here, he's actually looking at Revelation 13, what we had just read. So, but it's not possible to deceive the very elect, because the very elect has the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God will stop you from being deceived by bringing to your mind the Word of God that you have ingested. So now is the time to start getting down and munching on the Word of God. I mean, start feeding on the Word of God as much as you can. Get as much of the Word of the God as you can in there, and seek the Holy Spirit to bring these things to your mind when these things start to come to pass. And they will start to come to pass. You can be assured of that. In verse 3, well, we've gotten a lot going on here. We might make this a series. "Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him." So there really, you know, there really is no... How should we say? We really can't cling to a faith that is not tested. And so the Lord here tests us by bringing these things into our lives. These dreamers of dreams, or what have you. These thoughts that come into your head. They're there to prove whether you love the Lord or not. And it's not for him, it's for us. When a thought comes into our head, do we, by the Holy Spirit, brush that out of our lives? Lord, I want to think about what it is that you... Do we get into our Bibles and start replacing that thought with something else? You see, the more that we resist the devil, the more that we resist the things that go on in our head, the stronger we're going to be at being able to resist that which is coming. We need to practice that. So someone whispers in your ear, hey, let's go over such and such and do such a thing. And you say, well, no, I'm not into that. That would mar my walk with the Lord. And I don't want to do anything that's going to, bring shame to the name of the Lord of which I am a representative. So even though a prophet or a dreamer's prediction may come true, it's the message. It's the message. Does it contradict the Word of God? And again, the only way to know that is to get into the Word of God. Are you seeing a pattern here? Are you seeing how we're kind of going over the same ground? It's the Word of God in us that's going to help us from being deceived. So if human experience, that which we've experienced already, seems to contradict the clear teaching of the Word of God, then we have to go with what Jesus said in John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now sanctify, he's talking to the Father about us. Sanctify, set them apart. That's what sanctify means. Set them apart for your holy work. How? Through your word. Thy word is truth. So that explains why God's reasons for allowing such deceivers to exist, not only in Israel, but in our day today, okay? To see if you really love God, can you be strayed? Can you be taken astray by the mere words of somebody else or a thought or an emotion that touches your heart or your flesh that says, oh, yeah, this sounds like it's a good idea. 1 Corinthians 11:19 says, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. How do you get approved? By knowing the Word of God and to staying away from that. 2 Peter 2:1-2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. Does that sound like our world today? It does. Amen, amen. But again, it's to test us, to try us, to see whether we'll follow after the Lord or not, or will we just go be wishy-washy? Well, we have no root. Are we not anchored in the rock of Jesus Christ? Or are we, sitting on shifting sand that we can just be swayed by every wave that comes in? We need to steel ourselves against that and stay in the Word. Forget about, the prevailing fad for the day. Okay? It'll pass away. Trust me, I've been around for quite a long time, more years than I'll care to say. And I've seen them come and go. And they come and they go, and then they make their way back again. Every 8, 9, 10 years or so, it makes its circuit back around again. And it comes and it's all fresh and brand new to the new believers that have been around that hadn't heard about it before. And, just kind of, I've seen this before. It'll fade. And it does, usually. The things that crop up and they're so popular today are, let's say, 5 years ago, the things that popped up. Where are they today? A lot of them don't exist anymore. They're just flashes in the pan, and then they're gone. And it'll happen over and over again. In verse 5, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Well, that's harsh. That's pretty harsh. What is your relationship to God worth? What is your relationship? I mean, how much in esteem do you hold your relationship to God? So in a sense, from God's perspective, I don't want you to be led astray. So when these things pop up, you need to put it to death. That's the same things in our own mind. When those things pop up or whatever you see on the TV or radio or whatever pop up and start to entice the flesh, guess what? That's drawing you away from the Lord. Put it to death. Let it be put to death. Don't give it credence. Don't even look at it. I can't even watch some of the previews that they have on shows anymore. It's just like, really? That dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way of the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. I love the wording on this. I really do, because this speaks to us in particular, personally, in the midst of thee. What's in the midst of thee? Well, your heart is in the midst of you. And what does this do? It pulls your heart away from following after the Lord. But notice the Lord always goes back to Egypt and the house of bondage. Egypt is a type of the world. Each and every one of us was pulled out of the world into the marvelous kingdom of light. But not only that, but we were redeemed. Do you see that word in there? Redeemed. That means past tense. When you see that ED in there, something that's already happened. He has redeemed us. He's pulled us out of the world, redeemed us, and then he's set us free from bondage. Not only that, but the house of bondage. That place where we dwelt. That's what that is. That house of bondage is the place of sin that we dwelt in. But the Lord fished us out of there. Some of us came out kicking and screaming, it seems like, but, you know, in the end, we came to realize that, okay, the Lord's word is right. His Holy Spirit has told me about Jesus Christ, and I'm able to believe. You see, without the Holy Spirit, we're not even able to believe. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's redeemed us and pulled us out of the house of bondage, and now we're set free. And if the Lord sets you free, you are free indeed. You are free to do what? Not to sin. A lot of people take that as a license to go ahead and sin again. No, that's not what the Lord brought us out of that. He didn't die on the cross and redeem us so that we could live a life of sin and say, hey, I'm redeemed, so I'm good, I'm golden. I can live any way that I want. No, there's a response that comes from that. You know, if you're in jail and the jailer comes and he opens up the jail cell and says, okay, you're free to go, and you just stay in your cell, okay, I'm free, great, I'm free, but you just stay there, well, you're in the house of bondage still. We need to go forth from that and be led by the Spirit of God. Just like the children of Israel were led by Moses in that pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The Lord led them out of the promise, out of the house of bondage and into a place of freedom. And where was that place of freedom? Mount Sinai, where they received the instructions, where they received the law. This was something that this was the freedom that they had asked for. And so now the Lord lays these laws down there, and they think, a lot of people think, well, this is not freedom. If I have to obey these laws, then I'm in bondage again, right? No, these are laws that allowed you to live free. That was for your purpose. How are we going to know what the Lord loves and what the Lord hates if we're just doing our own thing? We read the Word of God. We read the law of God so that we know what the Lord loves and what the Lord hates. That's one of the neat things about it. Man, we live this way because we're free. We're able to follow after the Lord, and He gives us eternal life. Man, don't get any better than that. We have this, and we have the kingdom as well when it comes. We'll live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Spirit forever and ever and ever. These are the things that excite us now. We don't have to live in the house of bondage or the house of death. So the Israelites were to view each solicitation to idolatry as a test for their love of God. Though there's always a danger that they may succumb to temptation, each successful resistance leads to strength, being strong in the Lord. James 1, verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. How many of us rejoice at temptation? Huh? When temptations come, when trials and tribulation come out, we're just saying, praise the Lord, because I know this is going to lead to patience. Isn't that sad? We don't do that. But when it says here particularly, Hey, we're supposed to count it all joy because I want to see how the Lord's going to work this out. And so we wait on the Lord. Let the Lord take care of this. And so what do we get out of that? Patience. We're waiting on the Lord to take care. So we're to love the Lord and hold fast to Him. The death penalty for the prophet was appropriate, for he would successfully seduce people into idolatry, and he would bring them under God's judgment. And so it had to be done. It had to be taken out. So killing the false prophet was a way to purge evil from Israel. Remember, they're in the land. Now, where are we? Are we walking in the promised land? Free from the law of sin and death? Where we have life? So in essence, we're kind of in the promised land as well. You know, it wouldn't do us, would it, to go around and killing false prophets, would it? You know, the people would frown on that today. But what else can we do? Have you ever heard the phrase, "You're dead to me"? You're dead to me. It's a Jewish phrase. It's a Jewish thing. When somebody does something so heinous, they say, "You're dead to me." And then they're ostracized. We have to have that in our mind, that we cannot hang around people that would lead us astray. If they're going to go after their flesh, we can't follow them, nor can we have fellowship with them. After we have shared with them what's happened to us, you know, we have life through Jesus Christ now. You can have it too. All you need to do is submit your life unto God, and man, you're going to be able to be born again, and you're going to be able to live eternally. If they snuff their nose at that, and then they come back and say, "Well, why don't you come with us? We've heard you out. Now come with us. I want to show you how we live." But you already know how they live, and you know that it's not the way to live. So what do you have to do? You have to sever that tie. You've told them the truth. If you keep on hanging with those, you're going to be dragged down with them. You're not going to bring them up. They've already rejected. They're going to. And what happens sometimes, as new believers, sometimes we get so full of the joy of the Lord, we share with everybody. We share with all of our friends and even our family. And then they start to shun us until we find out one day we're all alone. We have no friends. They're all gone from us. Remember the old song? "Yea, though that none go with me, still I will follow." I mean, it's hard to be alone, to be by yourself. That's why it is imperative that you gather with the brethren, that you encourage one another, that you make friends with the brethren, that you start to hang out with people of like mind. And the best place to do that is in a fellowship where you can encourage one another, where you can pray for one another. So very important and vital to the life of a believer. Man, I need somebody that I can pray with. Well, you can call me. My number's in the bulletin. You can call Joe or Scott. Their numbers are not in the bulletin, but we can get them to you, no problem. Call them. You know, it's you need to have that fellowship. You need to have that connection with other folks. Man, I'm hurting. I'm really being tempted now. I need to know. I don't know enough of the scriptures to be able to overcome this. Can you help me? Can you give me some scriptures that I can read, that I can pray over? That's what the body is for, to bring folks together. The Lord first, and the family is after that. You can't give out what you haven't ingested. So if what I just said kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies there, well, wait a minute, I don't know if I can help somebody, then you need to get into your Word. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you're not in the Word enough. You need to study the Word. You need to read the Word. You know, don't worry about it, because the Holy Spirit, in the time necessary, will bring that Word to your mind, and you can give it to a brother or sister. But before you put yourself out there, you're going to have to ingest more of the Word of God, more of the fellowship. These things are imperative. Heavenly Father, we would come before you now, and we would ask, Lord, that you would give us a hunger for your Word. That you, Lord, would be the Lord totally of our lives, that we would not have anything other than you as a love in our lives. Not family, not friends, not anything else, but you and you alone. Father, I pray that you would give us strength to be able to resist the devil as we submit ourselves unto you. Help us, Lord, to war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We know these things are enemies and that they would pull us away. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would just help us and give us a hunger once again for your word. And understanding as well. And then we'll have that confidence that you alone are our source of strength. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.